When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Heidi edition. Welcome back from the 420 break. I got a fine former U.S. prosecutor, former U.S. Attorney James Santel. My good friend never partakes with us, but we won't hold that against you, Jim. Let me ask you, legalized marijuana. I won't linger here for long, but a House at least passed a bill, and there were three Republican yeses and two Democratic noes. So three steps forward, right? two steps back. Jim, does this bill pass through the House? Will it ever come to mean anything?
It is significant because it's obviously the first time this has happened, right? And marijuana, obviously, it continues to be a Schedule I controlled substance subject to criminal prosecution, certainly the federal system. A little bit of background on this. You know, there are 150,000 federal people in detention right now, inmates right now with the Bureau of Prisons. It is highly unlikely that all of them will be released. Obviously, on this, it's not the
so
case.
So, is it 150,000 marijuana offenders?
No, that's the entire number of people right now inside the Bureau of Prisons. So, I raise that just because when you talk about prisons, the great majority of prisoners in this country, they're in the state system, the jail. But a million state prisoners, 500,000 in local jails. That's where you get a lot of the possession of marijuana charges, and so I will tell you again, in my history, 30 years with the Department of Justice, we never prosecuted anybody for simple possession. Just not a part of the standards. You could, but we didn't do that as a policy matter. And so, again, understand that the Congress cannot affect state and local imprisonment and corrections officers. It will have an effect, if on anything, on those 150,000 federal prisoners, some of whom are there in part for distribution of marijuana, other things like that. And so it will reduce the population somewhat. But again, the overall issue about how many people be released from state and federal prisons, local prisons overall, that will not be significantly impacted. However, is this a good thing? Yes, it is. It is a good thing just because, again, as we've always said before, in connection with changes in law, crack powder a number of years ago, retroactivity, all these kinds of issues, they make things more just. They make things more equitable for people who are living their lives. There is plainly a significant difference between marijuana and heroin, right? And methamphetamine, those kinds of things. And nobody's advocating that people who are involved in with meth labs or distribution of black tar heroin fall under this category. But it will accomplish, again, not only some societal change, it will also move us, I think, closer to what we've always advocated for a long period of time, which is with respect to marijuana, other kinds of drugs that are in that kind of category, let's work on treatment issues. Let's work on behavioral issues. Let's not necessarily criminalize it. So the idea is a very good one. Practically, as we know, when things go over to the United States Senate, for this you will need 60 votes. It is subject to filibuster. We've already got Joe Manchin saying dead on arrival, unclear about what others will do there. But it is a good first movement and step in the right direction. And I think an awful lot of prosecutors in the federal system would acknowledge that and would embrace that notion. Yeah.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're medicinal for some, recreational for others. I got the finest of guests. He is James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Jim, there was reporting at the Washington Post this week that the president's son, Hunter Biden, and there wasn't specific allegations of criminality, although there was a question about possession of a firearm by a guy who is an admitted drug addict, or during the time frame when he disposed of a gun, apparently in a girlfriend's dumpster. He's accused of being a drug addict by his own confession. So explain how that part of the case would work. Can you possibly imagine Hunter Biden being charged with a drug/firearms felony because he's an admitted drug user who also possessed a gun?
It is very difficult to do. Again, you've got to look at intent. You've got to look at behavior when it comes to these things. And just because you're affiliated with someone, because you know them, you may even have some association on a regular basis with them, doesn't mean that you're necessarily subject to criminal exposure and implicated in that sort of thing. The entire Hunter Biden focus, obviously, is for a long period of time. In addition to that, kind of peculiar circumstance, which we don't know more than what you just said, right, about what that really means. It's been focused a lot on this Chinese energy company, FC, something like that. And again, we don't know a whole lot about that either, but fairly reliable. I think you're right that if we've got some reliable reporting out of a reputable news reporting service, that there is at least an investigation of this going on. Again, as we've said many, many times, just opening an investigation does not mean that there is an indictment coming down the road. That depends upon whether or not the evidence shows criminal behavior. And so we have to see that. It goes back to this notion that we should not be indicting anybody, even the public domain, based upon reports of investigation. That's what investigation is about. I will tell you on a regular basis, many, many cases in my own career, we take a look at things. We've got tips. We've got indications that documents or witnesses suggesting criminal behavior, including in the public corruption area. Lots of names that you would know. And it turns out in the end, there's really not a there. And so you close it out and you do not do it. The investigation was still conducted. That's what a legitimate law enforcement agency or entity would do. Does not mean that you're heading in the direction of charges. And again, we have to put all of these things together before we figure out whether or not there really is some criminal behavior here.
Should this close, no charges, no indictments against Hunter Biden, do you expect we'd see a James Comey-style chastisement publicly, but then, you know, acknowledgement there will be no charges?
You could. Normally, again, in most cases where there is not public notoriety about an investigation going on, those public corruption cases I mentioned just a moment or so ago, you know, we're never in the public domain. If they're in the public domain, there is a provision of the disclosure policy inside the Department of Justice says if there is a legitimate, significant public interest in resolution, then in fact you can make that statement that, you know, we looked at this, we're closing it out, and that's for the purposes of letting the public know you've done this investigation, you've done it exhaustively, you've done it competently, there is no there. And that also serves a good purpose.
Well, less so when James Comey did it, to my opinion. Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got a fine guest here in the Shaw. He is former U.S. Attorney James Santel. I see my little buddy Dominic snuck in the back door as well. Don't worry, Dom. There's two cannolis. One for you. Come back with us. Cannolis for everyone right here on the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
No, I don't see it. I don't see the support. I don't support it.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.